Good morning, and welcome to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Ed Williams, reporter for Public Health New Mexico. Public Health New Mexico is a KUNM reporting project providing in-depth, investigative, and continuous coverage of public health and the impacts of poverty in our state. Bernalillo County commissioners are considering a residential development to build almost 40,000 new homes west of Albuquerque. It's the largest development plan ever considered by the county. Developers say it's a smart, efficient way to plan for population growth and boost the local economy. But critics say the project will hurt public health and burden dwindling water supplies. Joining us this morning to talk about the Santa Elena proposal and what it could mean for the future of the community here are Santiago Maestas, president of the South Valley Regional Association of Acequias, Dr. Christine Swotzi, formerly with the New Mexico Department of Health. She is now working on the Health Impact Assessment Committee for Bernalillo County Place Matters, and Jim Stroger of Consensus Planning, one of the developers of the Santa Elena Master Plan. And joining us by the phone for the first part of the program is Albuquerque Bernalillo County Water Utility Authority Public Affairs Manager David Morris. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, to start out, I guess let's do a quick summary of what the Santa Elena Master Plan is and why it's being proposed. Jim, tell us a little bit about this idea.
Sure. It's a master plan that involves a mix of land uses that really looks to accommodating the future growth for the community over the next 40 to 50 years. One of the things that we've really stressed in the planning of the project is to look at how do we create jobs? How do we help to correct the jobs imbalance on the west side? So we have a lot of job-producing land uses identified. As you mentioned, we've planned for approximately 38,000 houses ultimately. This is over a long period of time, 90,000 people approximately, and 75,000 jobs.
One of the loudest criticisms, as you're aware and as you're all aware of this project, is that it will take more water than the area has to spare. We're already stretched thin in terms of our water resources, and this kind of growth just could put a serious burden. So I'd like to ask you, David Morris of the Water Authority, the Santa Elena website says that the Water Authority here has excess capacity, even with the addition of Santa Elena. Is that right?
Well, first of all, I want to point out that the Santa Elena development's in the approval process, and the Water Authority has not promised service to the development. But what we have done is send a letter indicating that we do have the capacity to serve the development should it move forward. There are sufficient water resources to do that. We, in our planning process for our 40-year, we do a continually updated 40-year water supply plan, and it takes growth into account. And whether that growth occurs via Santa Elena or through some other, evolution, we would have the capacity to serve that.
Well, what does that mean? How much water do we have right now? Because a lot of people feel like we don't have much water.
Well, I understand that we, we do stress conservation because we are in a desert community, but we've determined through our analysis that we have sufficient water supply in this community to serve it for the next 40 years, taking growth into account without having to find any additional supply. And when I say additional supply, I mean things like reusing water so that it's being recycled at the sewage treatment plant, for instance, or we start tapping into brackish water supplies, for instance, or obtaining other water rights, however that might happen. So
now
our planning process takes a certain level of growth into account, and so we would not anticipate that there would be any capacity problems in serving a community of Santa Elena's size.
Now, you're taking growth into account. Are you taking drought into account? I mean, the San Juan Chama water dried up for the first time in 40 years last year because of three consecutive years of low snowpack. If that trend continues, what impact might that have on the ability to serve population growth in the future like we're talking about?
Well, what happened last year was we didn't get our entire allotment of San Juan Chama water. It didn't just dry up. But our planning process does take drought into account, and we're trying also to account for the vagaries of climate change.
Now, Santiago Maestas, you're here representing the South Valley Acequia farmers. What's your reaction to this in terms of water use and where the farmers stand in terms of the availability of water?
Well, the water that's surface water that's available for irrigation and also for municipal needs and industrial needs has already all been allocated. There's no additional water to be had from the current ecosystem. And that includes not only the surface water, but also the groundwater. The city of Albuquerque has experienced subsidence in the Northeast Heights, and due to the drawing down of the aquifer in order to supply municipal residents with water. The drinking water project was designed to substitute surface water or river water for the water that was being drawn from the aquifer. However, due to the drought, there's not enough surface water flow for the utility authority to take all its water, or its 90,000 acre feet that it's allowed to take from the river. And not only that, but farmers. We've been suffering shortages now for the past 4 years due to the drought. And the predictions for the future are not any better. In fact, they're only worse.
Well, what do you mean shortages? What does that mean for a farmer when there's a water shortage?
Well, we run out of water before the end of the season. Our season has normally run from the beginning of March all the way through the end of October. We've run out of water as early as July in the past 4 years. And then what's also been happening is the climate change. We are getting monsoons in the summer, more monsoons, it appears, and less snowpack in the winter. And that's changing the model.
How many farmers are there that depend on this water?
In the Middle Rio Grande, and that includes not only Bernalillo County in the South Valley, but the Sandoval County and Valencia County and Socorro County, there's approximately 40,000 irrigators.
And so there's a little bit of disagreement about what the impact would be to water here, but if it was to impact your acequias, if you weren't able to irrigate and your water dwindled enough to where, you know, you weren't able to finish out your crops, what would that mean for those farmers?
Mm-hmm. Well, in the South Valley, you know, we're a marginal community. We suffer from poverty. We suffer from failing schools. We suffer from health issues in greater numbers than the remaining part of the county. What resources and wealth we do have is in our land, in our water rights, and our children. And we've been restoring local agricultural production in the South Valley now over the last 15 years. And it's become a source of employment. It's become a source of good, healthy food for our community. And we want to retain those water rights and the ability to use water on the land that we own.
Christine Swotzi, you're...
This is David with the Water Authority. If I could just jump in right quick.
Sure, go ahead, David.
I would like to let Christine go. I didn't interrupt you while you were making comments.
I'm not wishing to interrupt. I just wanted to respond to something that you said.
Well, okay. That's what I mean. Yeah.
It's okay. David, just go ahead briefly, and then we'll move on.
Okay. I just want to point out that any water that we provide to any new subdivision is not... We have the rights to that water separate from any rights that farmers hold for their water. So our use of water to which we hold the rights would not have any impact on the water rights of other users unless we were to obtain those water rights by purchasing them. So I think it's important to point out that those water rights are held separately, and what we're talking about the possibility of doing in terms of our use of Water Authority water should not have any impact on agriculture.
I disagree.
Well, Christine Swotze, you looked at this as part of the health impact assessment. Tell us what some of the findings that you guys had in your analysis of water.
Well, interestingly, we found that businesses who are looking to possibly locate to a region will look at water availability, and 63% of them would not come here because of lack of water, which is kind of interesting. The others would not come here because lack of an educated and ready workforce. Are we just talking about water?
For the moment.
Okay. We're also concerned that water quality may be compromised with this development, especially with the sand dunes, et cetera, and that will impact public health.
Well, we want to hear from you. What would Santa Elena mean for you personally listening? If you don't support this development, then how should Albuquerque grow? You can call our local number at 277-5866. Our toll-free number is 877-899-5866. You can also send us an email at callinshow@kunm.org or post comments to our webpage at kunm.org. Jim Stroger, what's your reaction to this concern that people have, and it's a real concern about water quantity and availability? Are you guys integrating this into your planning? How are you going to deal with farming needs?
We are, and we've really focused on efficient water use. So if you look at it in the region, that growth is going to happen. It's inevitable. We have predictions, not from us, but from the University of New Mexico, the Mid-Region Council of Governments, that say that there's going to be an additional 300,000 plus people in Bernalillo County by 2040. Where are those people going to live? How are they going to live? What's the mix of land uses around the community they're going to live in? And how are they going to use water? So we've been working very closely with the Water Authority in our planning and making sure that we're working with them on their conservation efforts and how we use water. And so I would agree with David's comment that, you know, the Middle Rio Grande Conservancy District manages the irrigation water, and the Water Authority manages the municipal water. They're separate agencies. They control their water. The Water Authority does not directly impact the irrigators. I think there's a cooperative.
But I think what Santiago is saying here is that they're interconnected and you can't really separate them. Is that what I'm understanding you're saying, Santiago?
Yes. In fact, the Middle Rio Grande Conservancy District has had to borrow water from the Water Authority that it has stored at the Abiquiu Dam. Even last year, there was a contract between the Middle Rio Grande Conservancy District and the Water Authority for up to 20,000 more acre feet, if needed, to be provided by the San Juan Chama project to the Middle Rio Grande in order to help us get through the end of that growing season, like I said, from March through October.
And I guess that's my comment about that those agencies do work cooperatively together, even though they serve different customers, different purposes. They are working together. They do cooperate to make sure that both sides can be accommodated through the system.
Christine, you wanted to jump in?
I'd like to make a comment. We're losing population, not gaining it. We're one of the few states that is, because we don't have jobs. And I do want to point out that Intel in 2006 had 5,300 employees. It currently has 2,300.
Right. And that's why we should all be really concerned about the ability to keep and maintain and grow our existing jobs and bring in new jobs.
Well, on the jobs issue, having Intel at Rio Rancho taking 3,000 or so acre feet of water a year has not benefited the South Valley. We don't qualify for those jobs at Intel. And in fact, Intel has had to pay penalties to Sandoval County for its failure to hire local residents technical, high technical positions that they offer. We can't farm in the South Valley. We have the land. We still have the water. It hasn't been taken away from us. And that's our future. That's una vida buena y una vida sana, as we say.
Well, we're talking about the Santa Elena Master Plan and what it means for public health in Bernalillo County with Santiago Maestas of the South Valley Regional Association of Acequias. Jim Strozier is here with Consensus Planning and Christine Swotzi of Bernalillo County Place Matters. David Morris of the Albuquerque Water Utility Authority is on the phone. We're going to take a short break here, then we'll be right back to take your calls.
Bike to Work Day is May 15th. Bike to Work Day supports bicycling as a viable, environmentally friendly commuting alternative. With more than 500 miles of bikeways in the Duke City, biking gets us everywhere. Stop by one of the 12 cycle stations from 6:30 to 8:30 a.m. on Friday, May 15th. For a list of cycle stations and complete details, visit biketoworkabq.com or call 311. Don't miss Bike to Work Day, a message from the tax-exempt City of Albuquerque.
This week on This American Life, let's say you had a superpower. Maybe you could fly. Would you fight crime? Work for world peace?
If I could fly, the first thing I would do is fly into the bar, check out what's going on there, fly back home, attach my baby to me and fly to a doctor's appointment at 11:30. Then I think I would fly to Atlantic City.
Superpowers, this week.
Sunday afternoons at 4 on KUNM.
This is KUNM 89.9, broadcasting from the University of New Mexico. We're back talking about Santa Elena growth and public health in Bernalillo County. If you want to weigh in or ask a question of our panel, the number is 277-5866 locally in Albuquerque. Toll-free number to call 877-899-5866 or send us a tweet at KUNM News. We're going to go to some callers. We have Roberto on the line from Pajarito with a question about wastewater. Roberto, thanks for calling.
Welcome, thank you. I had a question for Santa Elena folks. You're going to be using 20 million gallons of water a day, and water comes from one place. You can't separate it like you're saying. I don't believe that. But what are you going to do with that wastewater? Just in March, the city wastewater treatment plant, they had a spill of 6 million gallons. They're way over capacity. What are you going to do with that wastewater? Is it all going to come down in the South Valley?
Thanks, Roberta. Jim, you want to respond to that?
I'll start, and then maybe the Water Authority can chime in since that's their business. But one of the things, obviously, we have to plan for wastewater that will come online over time as the project develops. One of the things that the Water Authority has looked at and is looking at is satellite treatment facilities. We have been working with them on that concept. We have an area designated within the master plan that would be able to accommodate that. We're not sure exactly how that comes online, when it comes online, but the idea that you would be treating that wastewater not just at the main treatment facility, but in satellite treatment facilities where the reuse water is then available for use for green space or job users. Some of the employers can use reuse water instead of potable water for their needs. And so, it all gets back to how do you set up the system so that you're using that water as efficiently as possible.
And David Morris, do you have plans at the Water Utility Authority to accommodate this kind of growth at the water treatment plant that exists as it is now?
Well, we're actually in the process of doing about a $250 million overhaul to that plant. So the plant as it exists now actually will be essentially a refurbished plant at some point in the not too distant future. So we don't have any serious concerns about capacity, but we are, as the gentleman from Santa Elena said, looking at other options in terms of treatment of wastewater, including, you know, having that community be tapped into a robust reuse system. That would be a possibility, even to the point of using reuse for potable purposes.
Now, the $250 million you're talking about has been subsidized through higher rates by existing ratepayers in Albuquerque, right? I mean, so would Santa Elena be reimbursing those fees that current water users would use? How would the economics of that work out?
Make no mistake, this rehabilitation had to happen regardless of any future growth. This plant is parts of it are more than 60 years old. We had to rehabilitate this plant in any event. So, but as far as build out of infrastructure is concerned, the Water Authority operates on a no net expense to existing ratepayers policy, wherein developers are responsible for fronting the expenses for infrastructure development.
May I speak to that?
Go ahead.
Yes, the developers have to pay for that infrastructure, but it's reimbursed to them with the utility expansion service charge by the homeowners and businesses that purchase land from the developers in order to obtain those utilities. So it's no net cost, but it's really no net cost to the developer. The same thing goes for the water service charge, which is used to purchase additional water rights or equipment or materials or leasing water. That is also a charge to the homeowners with the water service charge and not to the developer. And so I want to make that clear that there's really no net cost to the developer. All the cost falls on the purchasers of the properties that the developer has put together.
Well, we need to, we have a lot of people waiting on the line to chime in with calls, and I know this is, we could talk for a long time about any one of these issues, but we do need to move on. Let's take one more call about water from Gregory in Albuquerque. Hello, Gregory, are you with us?
Good morning.
Hi, go right ahead.
My concern is that I don't think water right is the most useful method to measure water when there's a drought. The volume of existing water is altered. I want to point out that this sort of thing happened to Chaco Canyon, and I think that developers need to visit up there to see what happens when the desertification occurs.
Thanks, Gregory. I don't know if anyone wants to respond to that.
Good point.
I mean, yeah, it is an issue to think about. But Jim, what contingency plans do you have? I mean, is there something that you're working on besides just, you know, the water allotments that we have right now? I mean, if say the farmers like the Acequia farmers in the South Valley end up for whatever reason, you know, losing water because of the increased population growth of which Santa Elena is a part. Do you guys have a plan to help at that point, or, you know, once the if water does become a serious issue, how are you going to deal with that in retrospect?
Well, I think that's really a community issue, and the cooperation once again between the Water Authority and the Conservancy District that is going on today, and I would hope continues in the future. I think we all have to be looking at how we manage our water use, and that includes the irrigators and us as citizens of Albuquerque that use water every day, whether it's through Xeriscape, energy-efficient, water-efficient appliances, fixtures, all of those things factor into us as a community and how we use water. So I don't think you can look at the new residents of Santa Elena as being responsible for solving our water problem, nor can the developer. This is really a community issue, and I think the Water Authority has done a fantastic job of demonstrating that water conservation can have an incredibly positive impact on our community's water use. I understand that we use less water today with many more customers than we used in 1995.
Well, we have a call from Jan on the line from Mountain Air with a question along those lines in terms of sustainability. Hi, Jan.
Hi there. So my question is, are these homes going to all be required to have low flush toilets? Are they all going to be built with rainwater catchment systems? Are they all going to be built with gray water reclamation systems? Because if those things are not required of the developer, I don't see that we have the water. I don't care how much water saving techniques we go into. When you're talking about 40,000 homes that will not be required from the outset to do the absolute most in terms of saving, reclaiming, and not using excess water, I think this is grossly an irresponsible development.
Thanks, Jan. But Jim, you do have efficiency plans in place, don't you?
Sure, we do. And the Water Authority, once again, we will have to enter into a development agreement, and we will have to make a commitment that we are going to meet or exceed their water conservation goals as this project develops. One of the things that we know is that as time goes on, some of these opportunities for more efficiency are going to increase. And so as this project develops, as with other projects, we hope, within our community, those abilities to use new technologies, do things differently in order to maximize water efficiency are going to be incorporated. You know, the home building industry has made incredible strides in terms of how they build their product and the energy efficiency and the water efficiency of what they do. A new home uses far less water than an existing home within the developed part of the city today.
Right. Well, Christine, let's talk a little bit about some of the other health impacts that you guys found during your research, one of which was air quality, which was interesting to hear about. Tell us a little bit about what air quality impacts there could be to the area.
Sure. Let me start with, first of all, both Santiago and I represent several groups, and were those people here, we'd have a much more robust discussion. We have experts in water that are not currently with us. Elaine, if you're out there. And legal authorities and economic, and I wish that they were here. Second, I would like to say sprawl, and this is sprawl, is just plain not healthy for anyone. I'm going to hold up a book for all of you in the room. It's called Urban Sprawl in Public Health. And any kind of development that is out of contiguous areas is sprawl. It's not healthy for the people who live out there. It's not healthy for the rest of us taxpayers. It's not healthy for the community development.
You mean outside of the city limits?
I mean outside of, not contiguous to other areas. It's
But this area is contiguous.
Okay. Well, it's way out contiguous. It leads to more automobile time, less time in activity, less time in community, and it contributes to chronic diseases like diabetes and all of its comorbidities, increases in motor vehicle crashes, and a disconnection from community. And so you asked about
air quality. But how does that relate to regional sprawl? As you know, one of the things when you look at our community as a whole, we have, as I think Santiago mentioned, we look at Sandoval County, we look at Valencia County, we look at the East Mountains. There are many, many areas within our metropolitan development area that are far outside of the area of where Santalina is.
Well, let's go.
Santalina is about 12 miles.
Let's go to some callers because we have a lot of people that want to weigh in from outside about this very issue. And Sarah, you're on the air from Albuquerque.
Hi.
Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I work in the South Valley and I live in the Southeast, so I do cross the bridge into the South Valley twice a day.
Okay.
And I'm calling because Santalina development, it does sound like sprawl to add about 40,000 homes in that part of the far South Valley. And my parents live outside of Detroit. And one thing I hear about the way that people think about a city planners nowadays realize that infill and building up your urban core is the future of development for cities. And sprawl, they have found that moving more resources and more people at the edges of your city can help decay a city. And Detroit is a prime example. My parents live outside of it, and a lot of people moved outside of Detroit, and the urban core decayed. People drove in for work, they moved up to live, and it really harmed the city. And so that's a whole thing that cities are trying to avoid now, is the way that Detroit went. So to me, it seems like Santalina would move more resources and more people out of the core of the city, and I would rather see resources and things put into the core of the city. And that is the future of city planners, is if this population cast that are coming up, well, then you move people in. You don't move people further out.
Right, right.
And I don't want to have that congestion over the bridge every day to and from work.
Thanks for your call. But, Jim, this is kind of the opposite of what you guys are claiming, is that this kind of development on the fringes of the city, you know, as it may be, is going to help the economy. So explain how that exactly would happen.
Well, and I want to make it clear that in my personal opinion, the infill and growth and the densification of the existing core of the city is important. And a lot of people, including myself, are working on projects that relate directly to that. It's difficult. It takes time. We're seeing it happen in Albuquerque on the Central Corridor. We have great hopes for what ABQ ID is going to bring to the table in terms of the initiatives around Broadway and Central and the tech community, but that's not going to be the entire solution. And so if you look at what else can we bring to the table that's going to help resolve certain issues, and we have, and growth is one of them. And you're lucky, the caller, because you're on the reverse commute side, so you're going across the river heading west in the morning, where most of the folks are actually doing the opposite, and that involves all the traffic jams. We need to figure out a way to balance our jobs and housing on the west side of the river, because I don't think anybody's proposing any new bridges, and so we've got to figure out a way to balance that land use, and it's not balanced today, and we see Santa Elena as a part of that solution.
Well, let's go to another phone call. This time we have Mimi on the line calling from Albuquerque. Hi, Mimi. Thanks for calling.
Yes. I wanted to say that I do not see any rationale for Santa Elena that would benefit the community. We don't need another planned community. We have two already, Mesa del Sol and Mariposa, Mariposa being on the west side. Neither of those, to put it mildly, has come anywhere near what their goals are. We have plenty of room and plenty of time before we talk about adding something else. In addition, Albuquerque Bernalillo County is just now in the initial stages of developing a new long-range comprehensive plan, with beginning with public meetings starting this month. That's projected to be a 2-year process, and there is absolutely no rationale for making the kind of major commitment to development way out on the west side until the new comprehensive plan is developed and accepted. The only people that would benefit from Santa Elena now are the developers, and that is not a valid reason.
Okay, thanks for your call, Mimi. And we have an email comment along those lines from Chris. She says, what we plan today will be outdated and archaic in 50 years, so we need to change the planning and zoning paradigm. But surely Jim has a point that if we're going to have population growth, then better to plan for it than just to approach it willy-nilly.
So I'd like to respond to that. Mimi, thank you so much for your comments. I totally agree. And if anyone listening believes that Santa Elena is needed, I would encourage you to take a drive around Mariposa or Mesa del Sol, and you'll see that, you know, there's zombie communities. They're not there. I want to say up front, we are not anti-development. We are for smart development. Smart development that's based on need, not greed, that would look at infill, that will build a city that we can recognize as Albuquerque, and not, as Mimi said, we don't want to become another Detroit, and with barren lands and vacant properties in the inner city. So thank you so much for your comments.
Well, Jim, do you have a response to all that?
Sure. I mean, once again, I think if you look at planning for the future, we need to think about, and I think maybe the email comment was about shifting the paradigm. With Santa Elena, we are looking at a very different type of community. Once again, we focused on jobs, but we've also focused on the interconnectedness of the community, how those land uses are mixed, the different housing choices that would be important to make that a true community, open space, trails, educational facilities, the social infrastructure. We've brought all that into the planning process in a way that I don't think has been done before. And it is important that we look at this in a new way. And it also is important, as I think one of the callers said, this is long term. The way this planning process works, this is level A, which creates the framework for the future. Additional planning is going to take place at every step of the way, and our hope is that we've set up a framework that can evolve and can grow and can improve upon itself as development and as planning occurs over the next 40 to 50 years.
If I may add, I'd like to respond to another point that Mimi made, is that the city and the county are now engaged in a revision to the comprehensive plan. And the lawyer for Santa Elena at the last meeting said, we don't want to have additional impositions put on us. The truth is that currently Santa Elena does not meet the current planned growth criteria. And that's very important.
I would disagree 100%.
Well, we're going to have to take a short break here, so and we can get back to this just briefly. But you are listening to KUNM 89.9, broadcasting from the University of New Mexico. We're talking about population growth, public health, and the Santa Elena Master Plan with Christine Swotzi of Bernalillo County Place Matters, Santiago Maestas of the South Valley Regional Association of Acequias, and Jim Stroger of Consensus Planning. How would Santa Elena impact you personally? How could a project like this be carried out in a way that protects nature and public health? If you want to weigh into the conversation, the number is 277-KUNM. That's 277-5866 locally in Albuquerque. Toll free 877-899-5866. Send us an email to callinshow@kunm.org or tweet at KUNM News. Short break here, and we'll be right back.
Need a new home for that gently used couch? Upgrading a bathroom? Restore has it all, from building supplies to home furnishings. Restore purchases and donations have built 175 homes for low-income families in Albuquerque. Shop Habitat for Humanity Restore, 4900 Manal, west of San Mateo, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5. For large donation pickup, call 265-0057. A message from the tax-exempt Greater Albuquerque Habitat for Humanity.
Climate One is changing the conversation about energy, economy, and the environment. I'm Greg Dalton. On our next program, we look at how food is produced in today's changing climate. Beer, coffee, and even chocolate are being affected. Solutions may come from new technologies and plain old composting. Smart food on the next Climate One.
Sunday morning at 11 on 89.9 KUNM.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Ed Williams, reporter for Public Health New Mexico, a KUNM reporting project providing in-depth, investigative, and continuous coverage of public health and the impacts of poverty in our state. Now, I want to get back to something we were talking about briefly, which was the air quality situation and the impacts that would have on public health in the area. Christine, we got a little diverted there, but could you briefly say, what are we talking about? Air pollution from cars, from traffic? What is the threat to health that you see?
Sure. Anytime that you add increased commute time, you have an impact on public health. And the increased vehicle miles driven, especially when they're single occupancy, unless you're planning on putting in a bullet train, will increase pollution from the traffic and add to increases in respiratory symptoms such as asthma or COPD, worsening lung functions, and more emergency room visits and absentee from school and from work. Do you want more? Increases in particulate matter also you will find due to increases in traffic. And those can have severe health effects such as lung disease, heart disease, okay, aggravated asthma, decreased lung functions, and an increased respiratory
Yeah, it sounds like there's a list as long as my arm that you have there. So we'll link to that on our website. But let's take some calls because a lot of people want to weigh in here. And we have Mark from Mountain View with a related question. Mark, hi. Thanks for calling. Mark, are you there? Looks like we lost Mark. Let's go to Eric calling from Albuquerque. Hi, Eric.
Hi, good morning.
Go right ahead.
So I just wanted to ask how this is going to, mentioned economic development and redevelopment, how this is going to help us. It's a little like Groundhog Day or the definition of insanity. We keep doing the same thing except expecting different results. We have all these efforts to try to redevelop a city that's already here, whether it's Northeast Heights, Southeast, where there's huge opportunities for redevelopment. And every time we get close to that tipping point where the economics of it really work, you see a brand new idea like this that's essentially going to divert all of the city's investment, all of our infrastructure dollars, and essentially take people who already live here out of the existing city and take them someplace else. So my question is, if with all the efforts to try to make Albuquerque a great city in terms of economic development, if you look at the great cities around the country, especially in the West, they're ones that have really, really emphasized developing the city that's already there and not heeding this constant call from developers to just continually grow the city somewhere else where the grass is greener. So how in the world is this going to help us become a great city and increase economic development if we're essentially sucking people and resources out of the city that's already here?
Well, I'm assuming, Jim, you'd say that you're not sucking resources out.
I was going to say, I'm not sure I really follow that connection, but clearly, as you pointed out, we have to figure out a way to do something different. And I think there's a lot of efforts to look at doing something different within the core of the city, but that doesn't address the current issue that we have with the housing imbalance on the west side of the river. We have to figure out a way to do something different than business as usual. And what we've had in the past is the ability to offer land for new industrial, new business development on the west side, but we haven't had the infrastructure or the land use entitlements to support it. And so this is a mechanism to help change that and to rectify that situation so that when somebody is interested in either building a new facility, coming in from outside of our community to build a new facility, we actually have places to put them. We have sites that are ready to go from an infrastructure standpoint.
And actually, I agree. Eric, thank you so much for your comment. I agree with you. Santa Lena proposes that they will have a 2-to-1 jobs ratio, which means 2 jobs for every rooftop. That's higher than practically anywhere in the nation. Minnesota, we do not have that in New Mexico, and we're unlikely to have it with our current educational system. We cannot attract the kind of jobs that Jim is talking about.
Well, let's go.
We certainly can't if we keep doing things the way we have in the past.
We have an email question for you, Jim, from Jorge Garcia. He's saying, what kind of jobs are you expecting in the area, and how do you calculate? What's your calculation for the jobs that you're coming up with?
So we've actually looked at a wide variety of types of jobs that we've factored in terms of, if you look at the land use plan, we've identified areas for retail, obviously, to support the surrounding area. We've got business park, office, research and development type of uses. And then we have larger scale industrial uses. So one of the things when we first started looking at this property, we have an existing, we have a speedway out there on the west side of this property. We have the landfill and we have the Metropolitan Detention Center out there. Not necessarily uses that anybody wants to live next to.
I see what you're saying, but what happens if you build this development and then the jobs that you're expecting don't come? Then who?
Well, probably then nothing will happen out there. If we don't get the jobs to support the community, that's an integral part of what is needed to have this community happen. So it's not a situation where we have a need for a mix of uses on the west side, including a high priority on job creators. So that is integral to the success of the project. And we have designed not only the land use, but the infrastructure planning to make sure that we can support that.
Okay.
If it doesn't happen, well, we don't have to have another radio show about it.
May I comment on that?
Yeah, so, really briefly, and then let's get to
I wanted to.
Yeah, we actually believe that Santa Lena developers are interested more in legal entitlements, making a profit, and then boogieing. And it's based not on need, but rather on greed. And that's not a way to develop a city.
I wanted to address the issue of the availability of land for commercial and industrial development, as well as even housing development on the west side. And I'd like to point out that the Western Albuquerque Land Holdings also has another development on the west side called Estrella, just on the north side of I-40. And at Estrella, there's the Cordero Business Park, which was established there almost, I think, 15 years ago for the purpose of providing land, water, and utilities to the Tesla plant. And it's still vacant, and it's still available, and it's still being offered by Wahl, and it's being developed by Wahl for another 26,000 houses, as well as providing a space for commercial and industrial development. So it's not like we don't have a place on the west side for industry, even the biggest industry like Tesla to move into. Okay. It's already there and it's available with the infrastructure that Wahl has already put in.
Well, let's go to some.
It wasn't really available.
I know you want to talk, Jim, but we got a lot of callers lined up. So let's go back to Mark calling from Albuquerque. Mark, hi.
Hi, Hi.
Go right
Thank
ahead.
You very much for taking the call.
Sure.
I'd like to broaden the discussion a little bit on the question of public health. We, probably everyone is aware of the problem of global warming. And one of the main causes of global warming is the use of fossil fuels. There's no doubt that sprawl is one of the worst land uses in terms of the impact on the larger environment. So I'm asking the question, I mean, 50 years from now, people will look at this thing and say, how could they be thinking of more sprawl when everything is known about the causes of global warming?
Well, Mark, would infill building, if we built in the city, would that be better for global warming? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because the denser and more concentrated development has a lower, much lower use of fossil fuels and water than sprawl. There's no doubt about that.
Thanks for your call, Mark. Let's go to an email question about cost and homes. What will Centralina homes cost, the emailer's asking, and how will they impact rent and home prices in Albuquerque? First, I'm going to ask you, Jim, what are the prices that you expect? And then I know Christine has some information about home prices that she wants to share.
I have no earthly idea what the home prices are going to be. That really depends on the product, the builder, when those come online. I mean, we've been in the planning process for 3 years now. If and when this Level A master plan, we hope it gets approved, but when that gets approved, that doesn't give us the right to actually build anything. We have to go through the next level of planning, which is a Level B plan. And then, so it's going to be years before any houses or businesses come online in this area. So it would be silly for me to try and predict what those house prices would be.
Well, let's talk about surrounding areas and property values. As I understand from Centralina's website and the research that you've done, you expect the property value of the area to increase, right? Because
yes.
It's going to be, and so therefore the corresponding value of houses in neighboring communities would increase. Is that?
So I think one of the key things, if you look at the metropolitan area and you look at where values for houses have stayed steady through the recession, where home development has continued, I think you see that those master planned areas like Loma, Colorado, or Cabazon in Rio Rancho, High Desert in Albuquerque, Mesa del Sol has been slow to start, but they're seeing development happen now. Ventana Ranch, some of those master planned areas, they have held their value. They have not seen the level of foreclosures. I would put forth that some of the unplanned areas are actually some of our most challenging parts of the community because they didn't think about those things up front.
Okay, but the economic impact assessment that Place Matters did says pretty much exactly the opposite.
Well, it does say that this will be a cost to all of the taxpayers, and that will require TIDs, although you say that it won't, and it will require PIDs. So I'm not going to pretend to be an economist. I wish that Kelly were here and Dr. O'Donnell could very well discuss this matter. And I encourage you to have her on a future show.
Well, we'll link to the information so that people can get it because we're running short on time. But just briefly, Christine, how would if you're right and if the assessment is correct that home values would depreciate, what would that mean for public health in the area?
There's a very strong link between poverty, economic development, and public health. And if you don't have the correct infrastructure, you're going to see decreases in health outcomes, increases in poor health outcomes and decreases in public health opportunities.
Right. We have an email comment from Debbie. She says, private land will be developed either way, and it won't be as good without the kind of approval Centralina is seeking, and also that infill gobbles up agricultural lands closer to the city that wouldn't be good. That's a comment from Debbie over email. And let's go to a call from Adrian, who's on the line with us from Albuquerque. Hi, Adrian. Go right ahead.
Hi. Yeah, my name is Adrian Carver. I'm a member of what's called the Millennial Generation, and I just want to offer a perspective from young people that we really care about quality of life and connectivity, and I see Santa Elena as the complete opposite of that. You see things going on in Albuquerque, like a new bike-sharing program downtown. We really want to see multi-use development inside the city, but more mass transit, and you know, we really care about disparity and decreasing that disparity, and creating a creative economy, and we can only do that when we grow better and not bigger. So the county commission really needs to vote down this development.
You know, thanks for your call, Adrian. I have a question in terms of the ecosystem that you're building on out there. What can you say about the state of nature out there? Is this a fragile ecosystem that you're having to take serious precautions to protect, or?
Well, obviously, as part of any master plan, the first thing we look at is the existing environmental conditions of the property. So we have an escarpment. We have the steep slope areas on our eastern edge. We have an escarpment on our western edge. We have identified both of those areas to be maintained as permanent open space as part of the project. We've also identified the areas that we have existing natural depressions or playas that are out there. We've identified those as being preserved in the long term. We are looking at providing a mix of transportation solutions and trying to work, make sure that those are done in a way that is respectful of that land as it develops, and with the anticipation that at some point it will develop. And, you know, so one comment that gets overlooked is this is existing private land. It's currently zoned A1 in Bernalillo County, which allows one house per acre. So that's 13,850 houses, if you want to do the math, and no opportunities for jobs. Master planning this so that you can achieve that mix and provide those other opportunities is critical.
But it is being used at this point for grazing and such, isn't it? Santiago, right. Tell us a little bit about how that land is being used at this point.
Yeah, for the past 400 years, that land has been used for grazing. Really, that's what all it's really suitable for, is for the grazing of sheep and cattle. And currently, the Benavides family does have a agricultural ranching lease on the land and herds cattle. And that's how the wall basically benefits from the tax benefits of having a agriculturally zoned land rather than it being commercial or developed land.
We're running a little bit short on time, so let's go to one more phone call from Jesse in Alcalde. Hi, Jesse, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go right ahead.
I am concerned about the public health. I'm the RN. And with all these people moving in, what are your plans to get pharmaceuticals out of the drinking water?
Okay.
And have you ever heard of living systems? Because the current water treatment does not get pharmaceuticals out of the water.
Well, that's thank you, Jesse. We're out of time, and that's an observation that I think we could follow up on at a later time, but I wish we had time at this point. Next public meeting on Santa Elena is Monday, May 11th at 4 p.m. at the County Building in Albuquerque. Thanks to our guests, Jim Strozier of Consensus Planning, Santiago Maestas of the South Valley Regional Association of Acequias, Christine Swotzi with Bernalillo County Place Matters, and thanks to David Morris of the Albuquerque-Bernalillo County Water Authority for joining us earlier in the program. You can find this show on our website, KUNM.org. We're also podcasting on iTunes. Jefferson White was our engineer today. Kavi Movahead manages our phones. Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. I'm Ed Williams with Public Health New Mexico. Thanks for listening.